You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Oh my God. This is Hungover, a new mini-series where we follow some of our favorite theater artists on their way back to the stage.
We're going to be checking in with these artists before rehearsal, during rehearsal, seeing the process, and then afterwards during performances.
So you'll get a unique perspective on their journeys to getting back to normal.
So grab your hair of the dog, because this is Hungover.
Cheers!
Welcome to this week's episode of Hungover, an Equity One miniseries where we follow some of your favorite theater artists on their way back to the stage. I'm Elliot.
And I'm Caleb. Welcome.
And we are sitting here with Brittany Coleman. Hi!
Hello!
Yes!
A busy, busy woman about town.
So busy.
She has so much. We are going to get into it, but we are so glad to finally be sitting down with you again. Mm-hmm. We've missed you. It's been forever since we last talked.
It's been a long time. It's good to be back.
Yes. Lovely to have you.
Well, we are drinking some lovely wine from Intermission Cellars. Yes, we're drinking Front Row.
Front Row, baby. For like an opening night, we'd say, you
Ooh.
Know.
And here to tell you a little bit more about it are Kristen and David.
To some, the front row is the best seat in the house, reserved for the ones who want to be up close on the edge of their seat as the curtain rises. The front row of a vineyard catches the opening light as the sun rises, filling the grapes with enthusiasm. This white Rhone-style blend showcases that exact sentiment. It's dynamic, floral, complex, and refreshingly crisp. The Roussanne varietal acts as our lead character, building texture within the layers of pineapple, honey, and apricot notes. Pair this wine poolside with a pre-show buttery dish or popcorn at Intermish.
This performance is dedicated to Chuck and Kathy. The front row blend is made up of 68% Roussanne, 10% Grenache Blanc, 8% Marsanne, 8% Viognier, and 6% Picpoul Blanc.
To order Front Row or any of the other Intermission Cellars wines, you can go to www.intermissioncellars.com.
Cellars with a C. And you can find us on Instagram at Intermission Cellars.
Refreshing.
Love it. Makes me feel like it's summer when it is decidedly not summer.
No, that wind chill has brought us down into the 20s today.
My partner just got back from Arizona, and he was, like, really missing cold weather, and then he was like, okay, it is cold. Yeah.
Two things about the cold, and then we can move on. I have noticed that I love jackets. I have more jackets than I need, and I love rotating through them. How many jackets do you have?
I just bought a new one last week.
Ooh, yeah. Tell us about it.
I got it from Nordstrom's. It's actually part of my opening night outfit.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes.
I'm like monochrome, like an ivory color. So it's like a big puffy, almost like furry, but it's not real fur, I swear to God. But it's like very puffy and very warm.
Oh my gosh. It's really nice. A winter opening.
Yes. We love it.
We love that. Oh my gosh. Well, check it out on the gram. Mm-hmm. It'll be up.
Did you style yourself? Like,
I did.
Yes,
I did.
You know, if you have style, you don't need someone else to do it.
You know, I try.
Says the person who just got styled. For their opening / oh my God, listeners, engagement.
I was busy. I didn't have time to style myself. I was like, you know, when you open a show at the Met, I feel like you should have someone style you.
Yeah.
Time and place.
Why Absolutely. Not? Why
yeah.
not?
Yeah. Oh. Number two, I need some gloves. So message me about where I can get some nice black gloves. Ooh. I'm thinking like leather, fake leather. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But make sure that you take phone usage into account, because you want to get the fingertip things. I feel like most gloves do that now.
I think they do.
Yeah, and I do think they make nice leather gloves with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
That was my second thing for winter, and we can move onward now. Thank you for your time.
You're so welcome. Yes. We're so welcome. Brittany! So the last time we talked, you were about to start rehearsals.
Yes.
And now we are sitting here, and we'll just give you a peek into our process. It is opening night of company.
Jump forward.
And you are sitting here with us, which is insane. Thank you again.
Oh, please.
But when we were scheduling, you were like, well, it'll I won't have rehearsal opening night, probably. Mm-hmm. So that's a safe day. Safe day to schedule.
The schedule has been so crazy.
I know. Well, you have a lot to do.
Yes.
So why don't you talk a little bit about the process when you started rehearsals before you got onto the stage and started previews.
Oh, gosh. Well, let's see. We started off with 2 days of equity, diversity, and inclusion workshops with Broadway Advocacy Coalition, which was fantastic. It was so great to have the whole cast, the whole creative team. We had some of the crew there as well who will be with us at the theater every night. It was really lovely to just kind of get to know each other on that really like ground level. So important. And then we started right off into rehearsals. I don't even think we sat down and had a music rehearsal. I think we just went right into it.
You ready? And breath.
Because there's this thing that I think a lot of people are going to be experiencing if you're going into a rehearsal room of something that was already happening or in rehearsals, is there's like maybe an expectation that you can kind of jump in a little quicker than before. And you had said that you had like check-ins with with things in the throughout the pandemic.
Yeah, we had a couple of Zoom meetings here and there, you know, some birthday stuff and it was nice. It was nice to see, you know, folks throughout the process and see where they were at the time. A lot of folks left. People had kids. A lot of parents. We have a lot of parents in our show, so they were doing school from home, which was a lot for them. They are so happy to be back.
I was about to say, I bet they're thrilled to be back. Were there any like market differences in the process from when you were rehearsing before and then now coming back after?
Totally. Well, for me as an understudy, the first time around, we weren't brought into the process until I think the fourth week of principals doing their rehearsals and everything.
Sure.
And then we were 2 weeks in the studio and then we started previews. Like we were, you know, into tech and then previews.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so this time around, they had the understudies there from day one.
Good, as it should be.
Yeah, learning everything as other folks were learning it. So it could be in our bodies as far as like the choreography goes. You know, as long as it had been in everybody else's body. So that's been such a huge plus, like right from the get-go. To be able to be present for some of the table work, which is my favorite part. Talking about these characters and why they
it's
do
the
what
why.
They do.
Exactly.
You know, I don't want to be what we like to call a meat puppet. That's from Santino Fontana. But, you know, just like walking around and like saying the words and going where I need to go. I want to be, you know, a fully fledged human being on stage. That's just been so lovely this time around.
And you get a little bit of that, like for anyone who hasn't like had that process before, when you're learning an understudy track, you're working with, you know, a resident director of the show and the stage manager and the dance captain. And so I feel like you kind of get like maybe a Spark Notes version of like what, you know, what the director thinks you should know about this.
Yeah.
But a lot of times in those processes, you want to like, it's not just A to B, right? You figure things out as you go. And so having all of that is really helpful. I'm sure.
Yeah. And we've got a great group. We added 2 new understudies. And then one of our principals is new this time around. So getting into rehearsals, I mean, it was kind of like ripping off the Band-Aid for the most part. And a lot of the choreography was still in a lot of people's bodies. Hilarious.
Practicing.
Yeah, exactly. So it was kind of an easy transition to get back into things. They simplified a lot of things from the first time around.
Oh, yeah?
Like all that side-by-side choreography. It's like slightly shorter. There's less traffic in some areas. It's quite nice.
You know, stepping away from it, you're like, well, maybe it doesn't have to be so hard. Like, exactly.
Yeah.
I
think about, you know, if we had opened with version 1.0, I mean, we would have passed away by
I was really impressed by the dancing and the choreography.
Yeah.
I was not, you know, you don't go to company like expecting movement, really.
Yeah. And these aren't like dancers on stage either. We've got like actors, which is great.
Yeah.
Whoo! But they're dancing. They're dancing quite well. Patty's up there. She's dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Moving some set pieces.
She's not just ringing the triangle this time. Yeah.
Props galore. Like she's doing the whole thing and it's amazing. She's amazing. In case you didn't know.
you've heard it here first.
Who is Patty?
Patty LuPone is very good.
Patty LuPone is amazing. Surprise.
Oh, man.
Miss Evita herself.
Like. Oh my gosh. So what now? And you're on stage throughout the show in the ensemble, and then you're also responsible for having those other tracks going on in your. Mm-hmm. What's the process like now that you're also in performances, but then also rehearsing?
Mm-hmm. So now that we've got the show running at night, we're rehearsing in the theater during the day two or three times a week. I think it's going to be about two now. And we're just doing a round robin of roles. There are eight or nine of us understudies. And we all cover at least two tracks. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's like, okay, do you want to play Sarah for this? Okay, all right, well, I'll be Susan then, I guess. We're at that point now, which is great.
It's so fun because everyone's an individual, so you get to like really step into the story when you do it.
Yes, and we're all making jokes because our understudy group is about a foot taller than a lot of the principals.
Oh my God, funny.
Yeah, so our bodies are just so different. So doing some of that choreography that's built by our choreographer is particularly small.
He's short, yeah.
He's a petite man, and we love him.
Liam, those, right?
Yeah, Liam. Mm-hmm. Built for a petite person. Uh-huh. And we've got people who are well over 6 feet in our understudy group.
That's so funny.
Yeah, uh-huh. So we're all trying to be conscious of, okay, well, if these two people are paired up, we have to adjust this way or even different lighting cues sometimes. That
like
lighting
step down, step back.
Yeah.
So the luxury of being in the theater for rehearsals that we get to check the lighting.
Oh, totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we know where to go.
Oh, wow. So you're rehearsing with lights?
Yeah.
That's special.
And
moving
set pieces and everything.
Oh, that is...
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. Such a luxury.
Huge.
Because that's not the norm.
No. Not at all.
You get those folding
chairs. Like work
lights. It's a ghost light and a prayer, usually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is really huge. Mm-hmm. But that makes sense because, I mean... If you haven't seen the production yet, there are a lot of moving parts. Yeah. I mean, it is really, that would be hard to throw someone in like that with no kind of, not a lot of work with the actual set lights and moving parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are some things we can't do without the entire cast. So we started learning another 100 people yesterday, which requires a lot of, hands on these moving letters that are all like 8 feet tall and quite heavy.
It's so cool. Yeah.
So we had to split it up like chunk by chunk. Okay, for this move, you know, these two people move this letter diagonally, and you have to imagine you're going through the Y coming at you from stage right while the O is somewhere behind you. So don't step backwards with your left foot, otherwise you're going to get run over. Like, that's what our rehearsals are like at the moment until we get a full put in situation with the rest of the principal cast so we have all moving pieces, which who knows when that will happen.
When and if,
yeah. It might be like a day of situation if someone has to go on. But yeah, we're trying to be prepared as we can be.
I love the learning process of working with one partner, then another partner, and then the actual principal when you actually go on. So how have you adjusted one scene when you've worked with multiple people? How does that affect you?
Oh, yeah. It's totally different. And I think that's a testament to our... we have two associate directors, Gina and T. Hey, girls. they're so wonderful, and they're allowing us to be ourselves throughout every character. They, you know, they're like, you can speak like you actually talk in real life. Like, that was one of the notes that we got yesterday, which I thought was really interesting. And it just gives us permission to react naturally. So yeah, whatever energy I get sent between different actors, I can
play off of it.
Yeah, it's really fun, and everybody's just so different and wonderful. We've got such a good group. It's an embarrassment of riches. We are so spoiled. Mm-hmm. Everybody's so lovely and down to play.
That's the best part. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and really, you have to be, especially like in your case when you're really covering a lot of different kinds of roles. You know, like watching the show. Kind of, I mean, I've seen the show. Everyone, sorry, okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, so like.
But like seeing it, and like, you know, you go from Bobby, who is kind of acting as the straight woman in a lot of these scenes, and is kind of, and is so grounded in a different way than these big characters. Like, so what is it like for you kind of going between them? And are you like, does it help with either one of the characters knowing the scene from both perspectives? Or is that hard?
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Now that we're doing like this round robin of rehearsals, you just learn so much more about, you know, the why. Why are people acting the way that they're acting?
Yeah.
What drives them? And I think that fuels the reactions too, especially going from, because I did Bobby first, and now I'm working on Jenny, which is like slightly similar. She's a bit more of the grounded, like wife in her couple. Like David is the couple that smokes weed.
Mm-hmm.
That scene, and Jenny is not the one having a
yeah
a personal crisis. so she's pretty chill. So that's not too much of a departure from Bobby. But I also cover Jen Simard playing
right.
Sarah. Mm-hmm. And that's quite a different experience.
Yeah. She's so funny.
It's amazing.
I remember, and watching the show, again, sorry, but I mean, literally, it is like some of my like comedy icons, mm-hmm. like just thrown in a room together. I mean, yeah. Chris Sieber, mm-hmm. Chris Fitzgerald, like everyone, Jen Smart, mm-hmm. everyone is so funny and so good.
Yep.
And
they play off each other too.
Yeah.
Chris and Jen in particular.
Oh, I'm sure. It's just like a hoot. Like,
so funny.
Perfection.
And everything is. And it's really, a testament mm-hmm. to you all in the cast. It's a fabulous, fabulous show. Mm-hmm. How are you getting back into like being in a show schedule, being mm-hmm. here? Like, what's that been like?
Mm-hmm. I have reluctantly turned into an evening person during the pandemic. I became a morning person. It was so nice to get the sun in the morning. I got so much stuff done. And now I'm just like aggressively pushing snooze for hours in the morning.
Yeah.
I feel a particular way about that. I don't know why, but that's what we all do. That's what we're used to. We are people of the night.
Yes.
So that's been my biggest adjustment as of late. But it's good. Uh-huh. It's good.
Maybe you'll get back to it once rehearsals calm down a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
It's also like winter though, because you're like
oh yeah,
it's night at 4:30 and it's like, oh no, like I wanna get up. It's just like hard. It's the the tension,
mm-hmm.
the pulling.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. I've never seen Company on stage.
Mm.
And I didn't know there was an ensemble. Is this like just for this production? Or tell me a little bit about your track. I know you say it's simple and you blink an eye and you'll miss you, but like, what is your track like?
Yeah. So they call it the New Yorker track, quote unquote, because we have people on stage for big group numbers throughout the show. There are two big ones. And they just need more bodies to fill the space because the principal cast isn't that big.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they're also changing costumes into these kind of grayscale New Yorker figures, they can only run back and forth on stage so much to make it look like a busy street scene.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
So there are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 of us. 6 of us on stage who are basically kind of background.
Uh-huh.
We're background for the most part. Some folks are also moving those letters.
Mm-hmm.
I am not. Some of us, let's see. I think everybody from that group that I just mentioned are also in the nightclub. We have a nightclub scene.
Very fun.
It's quite fun. We all get to be on stage for Ladies Who Lunch, which is the best gift anyone could ask for the show. I wish I could also be on stage for the applause that happens afterwards.
Uh-huh. You're like, I'll suck this up too.
It is wild.
It goes on for so long. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that is kind of our makeshift ensemble. Traditionally, there is not an ensemble in the show. I think the original production had some offstage singers, perhaps, to fill it out. But yeah, it's a principal-driven cast.
I think it's so anyone who's interested in moving in a career performing, going to see a show and you're like, oh, like I see there's an ensemble, but then you learn that everyone understudies, so it's like, oh, like I can do both. It's like an introduction to like what everyone's job is for the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. And actually we're all on principal contracts.
Oh, amazing.
Hey. Yeah, because there's some union thing with that about us being on stage, but none of us are mic'd. We can't sing or say anything at the moment. I had to get a concession because I also cover what's called the Bobby Double for the TikTok ballet.
Yes,
which is also a principal track. So there's a union thing about if you are on stage covering principals, you can only cover 3, and that additional Bobby Double is a 4th. So we had to get like that whole negotiated. It's a whole thing.
Oh my gosh! So. The more you like keep mentioning things, the more things I like remember happen in the show. It's so good, Caleb. You have to go see it.
I have to go see it. Yes. Well. the reviews will come out and I won't be able to get a ticket. So like, I should run to the box office.
Rush life, honey.
We do have Rush tickets though, which is great.
You got to do it. You got to do the Rush, everyone. I was rushing shows. Like the week before Thanksgiving, I rushed like 3 shows. It was like the best week I've had in a long time. It's just good to see things and like just feels good to like get back in the theater. Mm-hmm. And I mean, how has that been? I mean, the audiences are going wild over at Company.
That's so great. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
It's really a special show.
Are you ever like enough with the ovations, people? I got a train to catch.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
how do the people that live in Jersey feel about the ovations?
Oh, I mean, we have people taking 11:40 trains at night. Like, that's the earliest they can get after we get out is at 11:40.
Wow. That is so late.
You know, it's a good half hour, 45 minutes to get where they're going. I don't know how they do it.
You're like, I'm going uptown. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. No kids here.
Want to sleep on my couch?
Exactly. Nope. Okay.
I'll be hitting snooze, so like, I won't wake you up.
But yeah, these preview audiences have been so wonderful and wild. That first preview performance, what did the social media account count? Six standing ovations throughout the show? It's crazy.
It was crazy. Mm-hmm. That's the night I was there. As I mentioned in the previous episode.
Ellie was leading all the standing ovations. Yeah.
Did Steve stand up during those? No.
He was sitting.
Okay, good.
He might have stood for Patty.
Aww.
But there were a lot of ovations, many. And, you know, of course, rest in peace. And I mean, how has that affected? Mm-hmm. Have you seen that affect the audiences, how they're loving it? Or is everyone feeling, how is that affecting the show backstage?
Yeah. Well, I don't think the audiences have changed in particular. Everyone's been just as wild as they have been. You know, when they set the bar so high at the beginning, it's like there's nowhere else to go. Yeah. So it's just stayed up, which has been great. It was on a two-show day, and we were all called down to the stage right at the end of the matinee. And Marianne Elliott was there, and some of our producing team. And we all like huddled on the stage after the drop came in, and she told us, and she also said she asked the Times to refrain from breaking the story before she told us, which I think was so lovely.
That is really nice.
It was really sad. It was like I openly wept, and I didn't think I would.
Yeah.
And I think part of that was just kind of realizing I owe so much of my career to that time in high school with Into the Woods.
Yeah.
Had I not had the time of my life doing that, I would not have pursued this career. So, you know, it was just kind of the world imploded on us a little bit. But then to be able to do the evening show that night, starting off with kind of what we did for our first preview. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did this for first preview too, is that we were able to see the audience and Marianne made a nice little speech that night as well. And we could just take a moment to dedicate that evening to Mr. Sondheim, which was so lovely. And it was a really special show. Everybody kept it together. I thought Patty might lose it. I thought Katrina might have a moment during Being Alive, but it was really such a solid show. And it was such a nice dedication to him. So I think we've really taken that to heart to be able to carry on the piece that he was so, you know, effervescent about. It's just meant so much. So
yeah. Well, I'm glad I'm glad you all have this moment to really, you know, pay tribute to him in a huge way every single night. Mm-hmm. And I'm also glad that we have it so that we get to enjoy
the gratitude of it all. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as it is. It's just like thankful.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Great. We are back with some quick cues. Easy questions. Let's go. Three things you need at your station backstage.
Oh, my gosh. Three things I need. I have these little pots of like chapstick by Vaseline, but they also come in like all these different flavors. So I have one that's like champagne, one that's cocoa butter, and one that's aloe based.
Okay. Oh. Options.
Okay. Those are the three. Those are the only three things you're saying.
All I need.
The lips. Sorry.
Well, this track is so lovely because like I don't really have to do much. Like I have that. I have my my Tarte BB cream for my face and mascara. Honestly, I'm good. That's good. I don't even need to drink water during this. Okay. Let's go. Also, we do have a French press in our dressing room.
Oh, love a French press.
You gotta have
a lifesaver.
You gotta have a coffee.
Oh, yeah. I'm obsessed.
Do you put anything in your coffee? Are you just like straight, like right out the French press?
Oat milk. I'll do a little oat milk. It's maybe some honey. Yeah.
Oh, honey. Okay.
Yeah. It's not like the sugar. It's not like no sweetener. Yeah.
It's a little mild.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Some listeners might like it.
Okay. So you don't get to you don't get to see a lot of shows now that you're in a show, but what is your favorite seat in the theater to watch?
Front of the mess.
The front of the mess. You get that whole view.
You get the full picture. The sound is usually pretty good too. Like, sound is a thing for me, know, in these houses. I'm like, oh, don't put me on the side where like there's just no, like, nothing coming at me
right,
like,
by the curtain.
A
memorable stage door experience, either on either side for you. Or your first time stage dooring.
I had a fun little surprise at a stage door once. I was doing Into the Woods, surprise, at Tut's in Houston. And we had a whole ensemble of children in the show with us. Mm-hmm. And in Texas, all the performing children also belong to dance studios.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm sure.
And
yeah.
I remember we left the stage door once after a matinee, and it was just a sea of dance competition girls there to see, you know, all of their friends in the show. But I've never seen so many there. And like, you know, like little girl screams amplified by like 100.
Yes. And they were all there for the children. They're
exactly. It's like, oh, did you enjoy the show? Yeah, but like, where's Cassandra?
Hilarious.
So that was fun. Yeah, that's
Cassandra. Notably taking forever. Oh,
she had to get her bows just right in her hair. She's like,
perfection. That's the age. Ooh, yes. I remember those days.
Okay, New York at Christmas, must see.
Oh gosh, I love New York at Christmas. What I like to do is do the Fifth Avenue walk.
Yes.
And, you know, end up at the tree or whatever, like have that be the middle stop between like top of like Central Park South going down to Macy's. But at like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night.
Ooh.
Emptier.
And yeah, like I don't want the tourists that have the kids and the strollers. And
I did that with my family. Ugh. Avoid 7 o'clock because it is just the worst time to go.
No. Yeah, late at night, all the lights are still on. Uh-huh. Super cute.
Yes. Crisp, quiet.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
So we've all worked at the Oslo Repertory Theater.
Yes, we have.
Oh my gosh.
Tell
yes.
us your favorite Oslo rep memory or Sarasota. You know, we love a Sarasota moment.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Oh, well, I guess I have a few now. One pre-pandemic and then one fully in the pandemic, pre-vaccinated.
Great. Uh-huh. Let's have them.
The Oslo Rep has fantastic company housing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I will say that. Uh-huh. And there are these picnic tables out there. And that was our, like, home base for the cast when I was doing Camelot during the pandemic. So the rules were so strict. We weren't really even allowed to like go visit each other inside.
Right.
Like,
because that was early, early in the pandemic.
Yeah, it was like March of this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a little scary, especially in Florida where people were like, what?
Yeah.
What's happening? Yeah. Absolutely not. So that was like our favorite kind of communal time was just post-show at those picnic tables next to the fountain that had like the glorious lighting spectacular. Oh, gosh. Yeah. We had some good moments, though, too. I don't know. Any show with kids is fun.
Uh-huh.
Doing Music Man there. And I remember it was Halloween. And I was like, okay, let's dress up. We got these kids in the show. Like, let's make it fun for the kids. I was the only one that showed up really dressed
Love that. And you're like, thanks, y'all.
Yeah, it was real bad. I came as like a unicorn. I had like rainbow like eyeshadow on and like a headband with like a...
You know what? That's embarrassing for them, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. The kids are like, cool.
Yeah, right. Oh, geez,
they missed
Marianne.
Out.
Yeah, they like, missed she out. She really doesn't get it. Yeah. Mm. Oh, Lord.
Whatever.
Good times.
Last question. I can't believe this is my job moment that you've ever had in your career.
I mean, honestly, just showing up to company every day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, maybe because it's part of the track, too, where it's like, you know, most of the job is making sure I'm on top of all of the roles that I cover. But like my actual New Yorker daily track, like I'm in a pair of overalls and a T-shirt
uh-huh.
and like. Nobody cares. It's kind of wonderful. Yeah. I care. But it is, I don't know. It's just very cool to be on stage for Ladies Who Lunch. I think that's every night. There's one move that we do where we shift positions and I am in direct, like almost eye line with Patty for one of the verses. And it's so humbling and a masterclass.
Yes.
Every night. I get paid to just sit there and watch her. Like, get out. Come on.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
It's amazing. And we're so happy for you and happy opening.
Thank you.
Everyone go see Company. Obviously, here in the city, you can't miss it. Brittany, where can people follow you on social media? And thank you so much for being part of our series. Uh-huh. We've loved chatting with you.
Yes.
Where can people follow you on social media?
I'm most active on Instagram. It's just my name, Brittany Coleman, at Insta, or my website, brittanycoleman.com.
You can find the podcast at Equity One Podcast on Instagram and TikTok, or at Equity One _ on Twitter.
Send us an email at equityonepodcast@gmail.com and head over to your podcast app and give us a 5-star rating review. It helps other people find our podcast and lifts us up.
It'd be the best Christmas gift.
The best.
Caleb, where can people find you?
Caleb Dickey on everything. Elliot?
I'm at Elliot Maddox on everything. And until next time, cheers!
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.